What does a clown have to do to get attention from a plant? That's right, be exceptionally clingy. We're discussing season 3 of The Harley Quinn Show in this episode. I say the word insane a lot, and we deal with audio issues, but also I personally think all of our points are valid and perfectly excellent as far as analysis goes. Also, justice purrs for about 3 minutes in here. It's perfect.
So I am a cat.
You are a cat.
I am not. It's a little weird though. I'm not moving my mouth very much.
It's like you're chewing.
Yeah, it's like I'm chewing the cud here. Okay, let's try one of the other animals maybe.
How did
maybe
you that'll do be that? Better.
It's in the Avatar setting. Now I'm a fox. I am
Hell
a
yeah,
fox.
You are.
The head movement works. I think the mouth works better on this one.
It does a little bit, yeah. It's actually like opening. Okay. It does work. Nice.
But it doesn't detect my hands, which is unfortunate because I can't do weird face stuff.
Well, I don't know where is it?
It does get me blinking. What about winking? Nope.
No, just blinking. Just a weird eyebrow thing. I can't find it.
If you right click your thing and say, I just have a choose avatar button.
Choose visual background. Ah, whatever. I'll never figure it out.
Maybe
it's
because I get paid Zoom.
Probably. Probably. And I'm,
okay.
I'm on the
okay.
free trial.
So, Harley. Oh, God. Why am I this boy?
What boy? Oh.
I don't want to. Okay. I wanted to be a
Diego.
Cow. I wanted to be a cow. There we
there,
go.
With a really cool fro.
Yeah, damn. Oh, I can't run my hands through it. That'd be really cool if
dang.
I could be like, yeah.
That cow has scorpia hair.
Okay. First of all, I'm going to turn this off so that when I have my first meeting. Okay. Then I'm going to turn off my camera.
No, turn it back on. I want that to happen.
My first meeting, because tomorrow's a holiday, is with my dissertation chair, and I would prefer not to answer it
to
as a cow.
Show up as a cow.
Show up as a cow. Okay. Welcome to In Media Les, a podcast about queer relationships in media. I'm Chloe.
And I'm Val.
So today we'll be discussing season 3 of Harley Quinn, as well as the Valentine's Day special, uh-huh. which we can't talk about too much.
Yeah. I don't think I would want to, honestly. It was very weird.
It's very
sexual.
It made
me uncomfortable a couple of times.
There's a lot of, like, inanimate objects involved.
Not only that, but, like, the entire concept is a little strange, which is, like, something that I actually want to talk about this season.
Yeah.
So I watched it with my friend, and she already watched a couple of episodes before we started the season. And okay. the first thing she told me is, like, just be prepared. It's a little weird, and Harley is a little clingy. So that's what we went in with.
I do feel like Harley and Ivy's relationship is the worst part of this season. Like,
it's awful.
I mean,
it's fun. It's fun to watch.
Yes.
I like it to a degree. But there are, like, things that have fun messes that are interesting and, like, exciting to watch.
Yeah.
And this was, like, almost there.
Yeah.
It was so close to it, but, like, honestly, I'm way more invested in, like, the romance between Catwoman and Bruce. Like, you know what I mean?
Val is more interested in a straight ship than a gay one. You heard it here first, folks.
And, like, all the other relationships are way more interesting because they're not that focused on. I understand that. But, like, I hoped that throughout the season they would have gotten better at it, and they do to an extent. But I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that, like, Harley started off from this, like, super toxic relationship, right? Historically, we know this as viewers. Even people who don't really know it, they know it because Joker and Harley were, like, an iconic duo, and now we are migrating away from that into this new relationship, and Harley is getting better, quote-unquote, right? But my God, this was slightly difficult to watch at times. What did you think?
Yeah, I agree. Harley is codependent.
Really?
And she's a people pleaser. And so she just
constantly... She's an Ivy pleaser. She's a partner pleaser, I feel
Yes. She is unable to have her own opinions on things, or she does, but she won't voice them. And then it just keeps causing all sorts of trouble. Like, all Ivy wants is just for Harley to, like, be herself and to have her own opinions. And then Harley is just so worried that she's going to lose Ivy, or that Ivy won't like what she's doing, or, you know, Ivy's going to go with someone else or something. I don't know, just like every concern in the world. And it's just, I get it, because the whole point is that Harley has a lot of baggage to work through from, yeah, her relationship with Joker. But like, it's the whole season and it keeps going and it doesn't get any better.
It doesn't moments like it starts to calm down and then she does something insane again.
Yes.
And on one hand, I understand, but I think the problem here is that Ivy doesn't match that insanity, where in the other seasons she absolutely did.
Yeah.
Also, they gave Ivy a plot. She's looking for the plant. What's his name? Frank?
Yeah, to do her Eden project.
Yeah, and because he was kidnapped and that's her friend, right? So she's like super invested in that. That's what she's thinking about. And then Harley's like, oh, does Ivy not like me anymore? Let me distract her.
Yeah.
And I don't know, just so hard to watch.
Yeah. Okay, so looking at it, I think part of the issue, if I had to guess, I think it's because each episode pretty much has a different writer. So my theory here, I love theorizing about like what was going on in the writer's room or whatever, is they had a meeting and they said like, okay, who's going to write this episode? Who's going to write that episode? And they were like, here's the overall plot of the season. And Harley is dealing with this. And here's how she's going to act. And then they all split off to write their own episodes. And so they all kind of kept Harley in this state of, I don't know, like codependency. So I feel like each episode she kind of works through it a bit, but then it feels like at the start of the next episode she's back to where she was at the beginning of the first episode.
They forgot to CC each other.
Well, I don't know. Like, I'm trying to think about why it would be this way. And part of me feels like maybe it was like written. They wrote it separately, and that's what kind of happened, because I don't know why else. It always feels like every single episode it's like Harley learns that like she doesn't have to just be, you know, everything Ivy wants and nothing that she wants. And then the next episode she's like, Ivy's doing this, I'm gonna help her even though it's against what I want. And it's just like, it feels like that happens over and over again. There are some like standout episodes, I think, like the Villy Awards.
Yeah, that was fun. Where
I think that one's about Ivy more dealing with her issues with Kite Man, which I think makes it a more interesting episode. Plus, you know, Joker's song is excellent.
It is excellent. Joker is glowing. He has such a glow up. He has a good relationship. He's got a family. Harley was making him worse.
Yeah. That's the funny thing. Who's Joker's new girlfriend? I forget.
I don't remember, but she's awesome.
She's the nurse who's awesome. Yeah, so Joker is amazing in this, especially because he has this like Bernie Sanders-esque run for mayor against James Gordon.
Even what's his name? Even Clayface has kind of like a big arc.
He spends most of the season as Billy Bob Thornton.
Yeah.
Yes, because he's in James Gunn's new biopic about Thomas Wayne. And Clayface learns a lot about, like, I don't know, being himself versus being an actor.
Yeah, which...
Justice, could you not, please?
Justice, I can't take one more thing. Yeah, please.
Justice. okay, got him.
Also, like, that is reflected in the Valentine's Day episode, because he is his own Valentine.
He falls in love with his butt.
Which, look, body positivity. Okay. You need to like yourself, right?
And I thought you were going to say, who isn't in love with their butt?
I'm deeper than that. I'm a very sensitive and emotionally in tune person.
Yes, these are all words I used to describe Val.
I'm not messy at all. Anywho, everyone... everyone kind of has a lot of growth. And then Harley is just so stagnant. I don't know, like, in the first two seasons, not all the jokes landed, but, like, it was very fun to watch.
Yes.
And then here, it was the jokes that were really keeping it afloat for me, which is unfortunate because they have a lot to work with. I honestly believe if they had Ivy be a little more insane like she was in the first two seasons.
Yeah.
Because, like, she's a very calm person, but she's insane. She does things sometimes that, like,
yeah,
are amazing. I, as a person who loves insane women in media, thrive on her. And then in this season, she was just fine. Like, the only time we have her do, like, something truly psychopathic and just, like, violently excellent is when, during the Valentine's episode in the beginning, when she, like, did the helicopter to the CEO of the oil company.
Yeah.
And I can't remember another time.
Oh, I mean, part of this is because she's supposed to be going through this, like, she wants to become a hero now, and she's joining the Bat Brigade.
Ivy?
Harley. Are we talking about Ivy?
Ivy.
I thought you said, but Ivy's not insane.
Ivy?
Ivy.
Yes, she is. She's no, scary she's crazy.
Not. Ivy is not crazy until the end when she goes a little nuts at the jazz festival. But her whole plan, I mean, it makes sense. She just wants to put things back to nature.
I know, but the way she does things, like in fights, she is probably the most violent character in the entire show.
Sure.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Like, when she does things, when she's excitedly or, like, emotionally invested in a fight.
Yeah.
She's insane. Like, I know why she's in an asylum in the beginning of the show. Like, yes, that is Ivy. And then...
Interesting. Okay. Because I feel like I would never call Ivy crazy, though.
Well, that's the thing that makes it cool to me personally as a huge, huge homo. Just having her be super, super calm, right? And, like, rational.
Yeah.
For 99% of the time. And then she goes off and I'm like, ah, there she is. Yep. Multifaceted.
Okay.
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful villain. And here, they kind of didn't do it that much anymore. Because in the first two seasons, they have it a lot. Because she might seem rational, but then, like, as a character who gets focused on a lot, she is highly irrational most of the time as well, like, when it's her stuff happening. Around other characters, she's, like, the voice of reason. But when we actually pay attention to her stuff, she cannot function.
Yeah.
And we're missing that here. My shoulder just cracked as I said that. I hope it's not.
I didn't hear it.
Jesus. We only get that from Harley's side, which is not what happened in the first two seasons. At first, they balanced each other out. And here is just like, whoa, Ivy wants to watch a TV show and then Harley is losing her mind.
Okay. Can I ask a question?
You love hearing
this
me
is
talk.
A totally random question. Why is there so... Why do they keep making references to Mama Macaroni's? What is My Mama God. Macaroni's? Why is it so important?
I do not know.
Is it just a joke that they really like Olive Garden and it's really basic? Is that the joke?
I don't know.
Because it comes up a bunch, right?
It's always there.
Is it supposed to be Olive Garden or Macaroni Grill or Buca di Beppo? I don't even know what restaurant it's supposed to be. But there's so many references.
They kind of had the bar in the second one, but they were apparently setting it up.
But that's
for
where all the thugs
thing.
Go.
Yeah, this one was just like weird.
But Mama Macaroni's comes up so much. They keep mentioning this place, and Ivy talks about how it's her favorite. And during Jazza Pajizza, Ivy doesn't destroy it on purpose. And it's just like, why? Why is this place? I mean, like, I don't know. I'm very curious about the inspiration for Mama Macaroni's. I'm Googling it right now.
While you Google that, I also want to ask you this. I feel like we all would behave the same way if Halsey's was crushed by Bane.
I don't know. Like, okay, Halsey's is good. Don't get me wrong. But I feel like if we were doing a TV show, would we mention Halsey's like 100 times? I don't know.
Anyway,
I'm just...
Out of the weak points of this season, that is definitely one of them.
it's not me. I don't even think it's a weak point. It's just something I noticed upon rewatch. I was like, wow, they really like Mama Macaroni's, and I don't really get that joke. Like, is there a pun there?
Well, okay, but like, here's the thing.
Trying to get it.
Tell me your impression on the locations that are the usual suspects in this season, right? We have that restaurant, okay. And what else do we have?
We've got the apartment.
Exactly. It's
Catwoman's apartment. Wayne Manor comes up a bunch.
The apartment. Does it leave an impression on you? It feels like its own character. Like, to me personally, it's lived in. There are cats all over the place. That's the running gag. It's hilarious.
It's got the fancy toilet.
The toilet. It's so pristinely white. Catwoman is never there. Like, I don't know. A lot of it has character, right?
Except when they break up, then Catwoman's there.
Yeah, but she's heartbroken and emotionally destroyed and really good at hiding it. I love her so much.
Yeah.
But, like, there's that location. And previously we had Ivy's apartment. And then we had that warehouse mall. It was a mall, right?
It was a mall.
They had the mall place. So, like, a lot of locations are iconically good for this TV. Not iconic, but, like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And then now that you're seeing it, yeah, I agree with you. Why is it in there so much? It makes no sense. Nothing happens in it. There's not a single...
They do go there for Valentine's Day.
It's, yeah, but it's so, like, unsubstantial.
Yes. I don't know. It's such a small, random little thing. Anyway, maybe we should, like, I don't know, go episode by episode. I don't know how to do this.
Okay, question.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like the Bat family was always tied in.
Yeah.
But now we also have Nightwing.
Yes.
And it does change the dynamic a little bit.
I like Nightwing. I like that he's a broody boy and he's just, I don't know, like, comments, he's got the nicest butt on the Bat family.
Yes. I don't know, like, what did you think about that? Because they're kind of, like, putting him in there and I feel like they're trying to do something with him, but I'm not catching it yet.
I don't know. Yeah, it's a good question about, like, why the Bat family is becoming more important, whereas I feel like some characters, like King Shark...
He wasn't in it at all.
He had, like, one episode. The one where he goes back and fights his brother. Which was sad, 'cause King Shark... I don't know, like, to me, there's a million things with the Bat family out there. Like, they have literally thousands of comic book episode issues. They've got their own TV shows. There's, you know, if I wanted the Bat family, I could find the Bat family anywhere. But Harley Quinn and Ivy comparatively have very little. Mm-hmm. King Shark
has nothing.
Has like nothing. Clayface, again, and this kind of depiction of them, of these lovable misfits, you don't see that that often. King Shark is usually just like, I don't know, like, have you seen the Suicide Squad?
I've not seen Suicide both.
Squad. Okay,
I like the first where
he's
one kind better.
Of a, he's a big idiot. You wait, what
I'm kidding,
did you just
I'm
say?
Kidding. I wanted the reaction. Oh
I was gonna
God.
Be like, wait, I was gonna be like, you need to put in a record scratch when you say that, and then just be like, because that's what every single person listening to this podcast is gonna do when they say
it. It physically pained me to say that.
Oh my God! Every single one. There's gonna be like someone's gonna write in and like angry at us, like that they spit out their coffee or something when you said it.
They're like, and I stopped listening to this podcast forever. I'm like, no, listen to like two more seconds.
Anyway, so I don't know. And then Clayface, I don't know. He's usually just like a thug. So I want more of them. We do get a lot of Clayface time.
We get so much of him. And I don't know, like at some point I'm tired of him, honestly.
Well, because again, talking about characters who don't show growth, I mean,
nothing
does show a little. But it's just like him doing this acting type voice all the time. And then fretting about being in the movie, and it's like at a certain point it's just like I get it, he's an actor and he's very worried about being in this movie,
and then nothing happens with it either. Well, like he's just in the movie and that's it. And
there are some good moments, I would say,
when he's trying, like when he's figuring himself out. Absolutely, like he does his little monologues and whatever. Like, one or two is fine, but the entire season of him doing just that and just that one thing Yeah. That's what's missing from this season, I feel like. We didn't have the crew doing heists together. Literally all of them are so separate.
Yep.
Physically and plot-wise. Even when they're in the same room, they're all doing their own thing. And, like, it could have been... Like, in the first two seasons, it's fun. Because
they're a crew.
They're a crew. Yes, they're all doing their own thing in the background. That makes it funny.
Yeah.
And then they come together and they, like, destroy a power plant. Yeah. And then here, they had one thing that they did together. I don't even remember what it was. It was Ivy stealing the pheromones or something? Or trying to free...
Well, King Shark and Clayface are in jail at the start, and I think it's when they get them out, maybe?
Maybe that one. I don't even remember. But, like, at one point, remember? That's what it is. Ivy makes a plan.
Yeah.
And she's like, no one can deviate from the plan.
Right.
And then they do the thing, and it immediately falls apart. Like, that was interesting. It had good humor, where Clayface was like, what if I pretend to be a guard that has, like, this thing happen in his family? And then they get there, and a guard actually has that happen, and it's everything that they said was going to happen, and Ivy's like, no, actually does happen.
Yeah.
That was so fun to watch, right? And then we don't have that anymore. That's it.
No. And then, like, I feel like the middle third of it is just, like, they're almost like vignettes. Like, they're their own separate thing. Like, there's the Court of the Owls episode, which is funny.
Weird.
But weird. Well, like, okay, I understand that part of this also, I think, is that the writers have started to, you know, I feel like they are starting to parody a lot of stuff that has happened in the comics that
I know
most
nothing
people...
about the
exactly.
Owls. Like, nothing.
That's what I'm trying to say, is that the Court of Owls is from the comics, and they're the secret cult that runs Gotham, and, like, the fact that it turns into a massive orgy is, if you have read the Court of Owls kind of arc, is very funny because it feels appropriate. And but then, like, I feel like if you don't know about the Court of Owls and how scary they're supposed to be, it's less amusing. And then, like, the Swamp Thing episode happens. And again, that has a lot of, like, inside jokes with, like, John Constantine and Swamp Thing and Nora Freeze and Music Meister all appear. So it's like we're getting into some, like, esoteric, deep lore DC Universe stuff here.
Yeah, I know, like, none of it. So I was just watching this show.
Yeah.
I think the writers at this point probably figured that if someone stuck with them for three seasons, right, like, they probably know what the comics are about, but they forgot that, like, gays watch it. And
you probably know who John Constantine is.
Yeah, yeah.
Keanu played him in that movie.
Yeah, I know. It actually, I watched it in theaters, and I was, like, 10, and it scared me.
You saw Constantine in theaters? That's actually very impressive.
Thank you. I left halfway through because it freaked me out because I was a child.
Oh, poor baby.
Which is weird
because
I watched Silence of the Lambs, like, all the time when I was, like, six. And it was fine.
I am learning so much. Okay, this is so fascinating.
It was
okay.
One of my favorite movies as a kid.
Okay, what was your favorite part of Silence of the Lambs?
The well moments where she's with the dog.
Okay.
Like, those were cool. Because I'm like, she's gonna get herself out of there. Heck yeah.
I will say, I think the last arc that begins with, like, them going into Batman, Bruce Wayne's brain.
Mm-hmm. That was fun.
That was a cool episode where Batman is just, like, constantly reliving the murder of his parents over and over again. And then the kind of reveal that it's actually, there isn't some external force that's doing it. He himself is the person who, like, embodies that guilt over their death.
Mm-hmm.
And Harley convincing Bruce that she'll be his psychologist. That's a really cool episode. Harley is, it's basically just Harley and Bruce. Clayface is there for a moment. And Dr. Psycho makes it. Again, another character who I thought, you know, really worked well and has now been sidelined is Dr. Psycho. I know why they sidelined him, because he went pure evil. But, like, I like Dr. Psycho.
Yeah,
he's a little awful misogynist, and just dunking on him felt really good. But yeah, I feel like the last three episodes are very good. I don't find the zombie, the plant zombies, all that compelling, I guess.
No.
I don't know. It felt too similar to the last season with the demons, where it was just like...
I think they do that a lot. Like, the Bruce Wayne brain thing, we had that same thing earlier in the show with Harley.
But I understand why they did it. It's interesting. Because they wanted to show that, like, this season fundamentally is about Harley realizing that she wants to be a hero, right? Mm-hmm. On some level.
She wants to date Ivy, too. I think that's the more important one.
Yes. She doesn't want to be a villain, but she wants to date Ivy. But she's trying to reconcile the fact that, you know, when she's with the Joker, everything was about the Joker. And so she doesn't understand how to be Harley while still being with Ivy. And that's, like, what she's trying to reconcile here. And that's, I guess, the lesson she learns from Bruce Wayne, which is that, like, his whole identity is just consumed by his parents' death and therefore the need to be Batman, that he can't be anything else. His mind is nothing but that. Mm-hmm. And she realizes that that all-consuming, like, living in one aspect of your life, whether that's the person you're in love with or, you know, the death of a loved one, is not the way that you can, I don't know, exist as a human being. And that's important. But I do think, do the plant zombie things really have to be an existential threat? I feel like we've had so many of those already, like the parademons. And then at the end of the first season, we had Joker and his forces taking over. It just feels like every season there has to be some existential threat to Gotham. And I don't know that needed to be the case this time.
It's like, after the fifth time, it's kind of like.
Would you have rather had the episodes that we had or an episode where we focus on Harley and Ivy reconciling and figuring out their relationship in a way that was, like, concrete and, like, why can't they have an episode where they actually just sit down and talk about their feelings? I feel like that would be more transgressive for comic characters, mm-hmm. of just them, like, sitting down, two cups of coffee, it's like a bottle episode, and they just talk everything out. That would be so transgressive for a superhero show compared to, like, oh, Ivy went mad and now she's got a zombie apocalypse. And then this is maybe a metaphor for their relationship on some level, but not really because it's also just plant zombies. Just spitballing here. I don't even know where I'm going with this. Now you talk. You say something. I don't know what I'm saying anymore.
There is a plane outside my window right now.
Okay.
Or a helicopter or something. No, it's just a truck. I'm just in my headphones and it sounded louder. Yeah, sorry. There's chaos happening in my house and everything is very loud.
Okay. But zombie apocalypse.
Zombie apocalypse. But I completely agree with you. And at the same time, they did that like 2-3 times in the show and it did nothing. I feel like what they need to do is to like sit down and talk about what they're writing.
Yeah.
And
well, this is what I was saying.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. Like, maybe they had that once meeting, you said it, I cannot unsee it now.
They need to talk. Maybe they needed to talk a little more.
It's kind of upsetting because, my God, sorry, one second. Maybe it is a plane. It's Superman.
It's Superman.
Yep.
I forget, is he in this? Not really. He's in the Valentine's Day special.
And he's, I think, in like an episode in the first season where...
First season.
Where Robin and second season. Yells he at gets him.
And he gets trapped in...
Mind.
Queen of Fables.
Thing. Yeah.
Book.
So he's in there, like,
yeah.
At some anyway. Point. Anyway. But, like, okay. That's the thing that I was also talking about. Like, Harley is way too invested in the idea of dating Ivy. And then Ivy is already dating Harvey. Harvey, Jesus.
Yes. Harvey.
Harvey.
She's dating Harley Dent.
I'm not present mentally.
She's dating Two-Face.
She's dating Two-Face. Oh, Dent. But
another good character who doesn't is he dead? I forget.
He was there for the mayor race.
Oh right, he was the mayoral, and then he gets arrested. I guess, or does he die? I forget.
I don't remember. I think he just like stops. He's Joker's running mate now. But then
no.
He's not there anymore.
He's Jim Gordon's campaign manager.
And then he switched to Joker's side.
No.
And then
Joker No, he kidnaps Joker's
family.
Son,
that's right. Benicio,
and threatens to kill Benicio unless Joker drops out of the election. Joker says okay, but Two-Face still's like, I'm just gonna kill you anyway.
Then they probably kill him, honestly.
Gordon saves Joker and Benicio, and then they arrest Two-Face, I guess.
That was a super fun episode. I forgot about it.
That was a good episode.
Everything else drowns it out.
Yes. Yes. It's a very, very good episode. Again, it's like a very self-contained vignette. It's like its own thing. Harley and Ivy aren't really even in it. I think they just show up at the end and are just like, what? Joker's mayor now?
Yeah, they like come back from like their honeymoon phase or something. You see, that's interesting. I like the development of first and second seasons where the city fell apart. And now the city is post falling apart. And in this third season, I thought they would take it in the direction of like, now it's getting built again with Joker. Yeah. It was. And then they like lost it entirely. And then Bane broke the city in the special. Like,
yeah,
I don't know. I want to like this show. And I did like watching it. But yeah. I feel like I liked watching it with company more than I liked watching it.
That's a good way of putting it. Like,
I watched the special, and the whole time I'm like, it's okay, I'll get to talk to Chloe about it. Just finish it.
Okay, why? I was so annoyed at the special because it feels like Harley is acting like, I don't know, she's acting like the third season basically didn't happen. She's all codependent again.
She's not only codependent, she kind of like magically gets Ivy to like sleep with her.
Yeah.
Which felt gross, honestly.
Yeah, there's definitely some weird issues of consent that are kind of,
and then it translates to the entire city with that same issue. So I didn't enjoy that episode at all.
It wasn't
funny or silly. I was just like, okay, I guess.
And then Bane, I don't know, his whole thing, which is just like a big size joke, I'll just keep it vague there.
Yeah.
Like, but it just goes on. It feels like, okay, it feels like that goes on for way too long.
It's 40 minutes.
It's 40 literally. Minutes. But they could have done, and the whole thing with Clayface and his butt, it's just like, I get it. I get why it's funny. It could be like cut in half.
I honestly just don't want this show to become Family Guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to watch.
I think that's what they're trying to do, though, I guess, on some level, is to make just like the DC Family Guy, where there's kind of just like these goofy moments. None of the characters really ever change that much from what they are now. And they're just going to keep it, I don't know, just lampooning the DC universe and throwing in current events references and Brett Goldstein from the hit show Ted Lasso. Because, I don't know, because he's attractive and they got him to do some voice acting. I don't know. It's just,
it's strange to say, but the first two seasons had a lot of substance.
Yeah.
Surprisingly, which is why we liked that show, right? Like, we were surprised by how interesting it actually was, ignoring the race happening outside my house for the past 10 minutes. It was fun. I enjoyed it. We got to see these characters from the other side of the equation in, like, such a silly filter. And yeah, it's occasionally explicit and like it's super violent and like that's part of the charm. And then here they overdid on the like sex part.
Yeah.
For what? Like for what? In the first one, whenever there was violence, yeah, it's funny, silly, but a lot of times like Joker does that and it helps in some way conceptualize his character for us. Like we know that Joker is awful. We know that. But also seeing him melt people with acid on screen is hilarious, but also is like, oh yeah, that is Joker. He would absolutely do that. And here, it does nothing at all. At least in the first two seasons, it did like one thing. I have a question for you.
Yeah, ask your question. And if that question is, is that justice purring? The answer is yes.
Well, first of all, that wasn't, but I love that answer.
Okay.
What would you want to see in season 4?
good question. I mean, I think what we're going to see is Harley is hanging out with the Bat family. I don't know. I want to see, okay, Harley and Ivy, I feel like we need to see less of them, like,
in the same shot together.
I mean, like, if they're being loving, that's great, but, like, less of the codependency thing.
You mean you don't like when people in real life around you are, like, always with their partner?
Yeah.
When you hang out, they don't talk to you. They just talk to their partner.
And they shun all their old friends like King Shark and Clayface in favor of trying to please their partner. I'd like to see the gang back together. I'd like to see some reason for King Shark and Clayface and maybe even Dr. Psycho, because I really like Dr. Psycho. I mean, he's an awful person, but, like,
the whole point
was that he was there for them to dunk on. Like, the problem right now is that with Harley and Ivy, that they're both kind of fundamentally trying to be good people, and it's nice to have someone who's just like, I'm an evil misogynist, and they're just like, yeah, and we're just going to make you look like an idiot, and it works really well. I don't know that we're going to get that, though, because I feel like the emphasis is going to be on Harley with the Bat family. I think I ragged on it a little bit for having these lesser-known characters, but I actually really like when they do that. I like seeing random people like Music Meister and Golden Glider and the demon guy who was in the Valentine's Day. What's his name?
Erdogan. Was great.
Yeah, like Etrigan, something like that. And I want more Bane. I want Bane to be everything. Like, Bane should get his spinoff where it's just him, but it should be like a Seinfeld parody where he, like, does stand up. And then, like, I don't know. I just love Bane. Like, I feel like, honestly, Bane is the best character. He's the best character. Yeah. I mean, like, I thought it was unfortunate that the Valentine's Day special was, like, focusing on him. And then, like, he spends half of it as, like, this kaiju who is just, like, on a rampage due to lust, I'm going to say. I just love Bane so much. He's just, like, such, like, a, I don't know, just, like, when he's complaining about proper back support or whatever from a good chair. Man, that's what I want. What do you want?
I want Harley to... Okay, here's what I think is going to happen.
Okay.
You might have already said it.
Because you weren't listening to me.
I was listening.
No, you weren't.
I was. I was lumbar support and everything. I feel like we talked about it earlier is a thing. Harley joins the Bat family. I want Ivy to be jealous. Okay. I don't know why. I just want Ivy to be invested in Harley.
Okay.
Like, yeah. She's just dating her. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
There's that vibe of they're dating and, like, that's the status quo for Ivy's side of it. Whereas Harley is so invested and, like, is trying to do things. You know what I mean? Like, I want Ivy to just lose her mind and get jealous. That's what I want. I don't care how it happens. I want Ivy to be invested in this as well, which I think is the problem in this one. She's just, like, chilling and doing her own thing. And it's kind of what you were saying. You want them to be their own people in a way. But Ivy is her own person this entire season, and it doesn't work.
Yeah.
So I want the opposite to happen. Now I want Harley to get really invested in this project, really get back into her own, like, field of medicine. Have that happen, and then I want Ivy to be like, hey, no, I actually legitimately want this person in my life, and she's not giving me attention anymore, so I'm gonna lose my mind. I want that. That's all I want. I don't care what happens in it. Just give me that.
Yeah. I've lost all... Not lost. I don't, like, not all. I don't know how to put this.
It's hard for this show to come back, honestly.
There's going to be season 4. I'm glad we're getting more of it.
Yes.
Let me be clear about
that. I don't want it to be
over.
First
and foremost, I just think, I don't know.
I feel like the writers kind of gave up on it.
Well.
But I don't want them to. I want them to be excited about it.
And we don't know what's going behind. I wonder if there's, like, budget cuts. Who knows what's going behind the scenes and what they're being forced to do with. Because I know Warner Brothers / HBO has that new CEO who's, like, the king of cost cut, like, he's, you know, canceling everything and cost cutting everything, and everyone was, like, even amazed that it's getting a fourth season. So I guess we'll see what happens. And we don't know, maybe, you know, they're fighting really hard for it, and but they're game pressure.
I hope that they don't have to fight that hard for it. Like, I hate when creators have to do, like, the bureaucratic stuff.
Yeah.
Like, this show is popular and it's making you money. Just let them do a thing that they were already doing. Let's get political here.
It's never that simple, Val.
It could be. It could be. That's the thing. It could be that simple. Don't let CEOs make decisions. They don't know anything. Just tell them we're going to make you money. Go away. And then just do the... As you can see, I'm still not over the D&D thing. Anyway, let's move past this topic. Let's
wrap things up, I guess.
Sorry, I got any heated.
It's good. It's good when you get heated. Any final thoughts?
I want Ivy to lose her mind. I want Catwoman to keep being crazy quietly. I love it.
Yes.
I said the word insane and crazy approximately 70 times this episode, and I stand by it.
I want Batgirl to continue being a weird, like, Gen Z fangirl.
I want her so much.
I want, what's his name, the butler, to continue being the macaroni.
Yeah, and I want Alfred. Nightwing to keep fangirling over him, because he still used the unicycle bicycle thing, which was adorable, honestly.
Yeah, what do you call that thing? The thing with the big wheel and the small tiny wheel? There's got to be some fun twee word for it. I'm going to Google it now before we go.
Enlighten us, Chloe.
It's called a penny farthing.
Yes, it is.
It's a great twee. I knew it was going to be some cool twee word. And in fact, it is a good twee word. The penny farthing. Heck yeah. I want one. I'm going to ride around the streets of New York on a penny
farthing. Please don't. I'm going to have to look for a new host after New York murders you in traffic.
Yes, I think someone would hit me on purpose. And with that note, with that joke about murdered by cars.
I'm going to have to become the Batman after that. And
oh, God. She's going to relive the scene of my death.
There's already so many demons up there. I cannot make space, Chloe.
Okay.
Please take us out.
They are legion.
What do we have? We have a bunch of stuff. What do
we have? We have a social media. A social media. One. Just this one.
I think we have just the one, honestly.
Just the one. No, we've got a Twitter, Instagram, and Pinterest. It is @InMediaLez. Our subreddit is r/InMediaLez. And our Tumblr is...
thepodinmedialez.tumblr.com. And that is the first time I didn't look it up while reading it. Well, not reading it, while saying it. I didn't read it this time.
I'm very proud of you and the demons in your head for remembering that.
They have a filing system.
It's Dewey Decimal. Our website is inmedialez.com. I said that really weird. Our website is inmedialez.com. You can email us at inmedialez@gmail.com. And thank you to everyone who rates, likes, subscribes, interacts with us, generally acknowledges our existence as human beings in this small, small existence of ours.
Yeah.
I don't know why I got so existential there.
I think that's going to be a theme for... That happened last time, right?
This is the theme. Existentialism. We're mid-1950s modernist authors now.
We're making up for the lack of plot in this show, in this episode.
Wait, we're going to develop a plot?
No, for Harley.
Oh, okay, okay. I thought we were going to have, like, a meta plot where, like, people they have to put the clues together. If you listen to the secret phrase in all the episodes, you find out the meta message of the underlying.
The first letter of every word that we start makes a sentence.
This has all been an underlying alternate reality game. And if you go to the website and type in the code at the secret text box, you unlock the Illuminati.
You're not supposed to tell them that. Anyway, we'll see you in the next one.
And God bless you.